one if by land, two if by sea. Minuteman Radio continues with your host, the president of the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps, Chris Simcox.
And we're back after the break. We're hoping to get Tom back on the line there. We had problems. The ghost in the machine, as Dennis and I call it sometimes. While we're waiting to get Tom back on, I want to send our thoughts and have you send your thoughts and prayers and even your emails to another great leader in this country, U.S. Representative Charlie Norwood out of Georgia. Mr. Norwood is a great patriot, as a public servant unlike any other. Served, I think, 10 terms, consecutive terms in the U.S. Congress. Mr. Norwood has been battling cancer for the past few years, and unfortunately, Mr. Norwood has declined further treatment at a Georgetown University medical center in Washington, D.C., has returned to his Augusta home for hospice care. And Mr. Norwood, Congressman Norwood, has been a great friend of mine also for the last few years, and a great friend to America and the United States for his efforts to continue to see our borders secure, to see our laws enforced. And we want to send our prayers and good thoughts to Congressman Norwood and hope that God will intervene and help Charlie stay with us. And as a great patriot, and again, send your thoughts and prayers to U.S. Representative Charlie Norwood. We hope we don't lose him anytime soon. We do have Tom back on the air. Unfortunately, we're having problems with our switchboard, says Dennis, and we may not be able to take any callers, Tom. Unfortunately.
Well, okay.
One of those things.
That happens. I've been on your side of this, and I know how frustrating it can be.
it's been a couple of months of a real learning curve. I mean, I probably do 15 interviews a week. It's much easier when I'm being interviewed.
It, absolutely.
Rather than on the other side.
Absolutely. I used to do a show here in Colorado, and I often would take over for a guy who had a show, and I would come with so much stuff. I mean, you know, bushel baskets of papers and things that I think, because I'd always say, oh, man, I don't want any dead air, you know, and I never would get through the first one inch of stack of the thing because the phones would light up, but I was always petrified of it, and I really and truly mean it when I say I'd rather be on this side of the line than the other.
Sometimes I feel the same way, but it's been we've had a lot of fun doing this. Our listenership has been growing, and we're just honored to have you on. We continue to bring, as we say, the news that the lamestream media does not give you every week, and of course supporting our efforts and you know, engaged in the discussion about this. So I wanted to move the discussion then to this terrible miscarriage of justice, something that every day seems to be more mysterious and more disturbing when we see now a couple of Border Patrol agents who testified against Ramos and Compion, who've been fired, basically, and obviously it seems now have perjured themselves during their sworn testimony against the two agents. It's just so mysterious and unfortunately disturbing when we find out the cover-up, I think, that's going on with these two agents. And I know you spent an hour with Nacho Ramos last week in the prison in Mississippi after his terrible beating. And as you stated, it seems to be much worse than the media even reported.
Well, it is certainly you can tell. And this was a week after it happened on Saturday night, a week ago last Saturday. So it's when I saw him, it was Friday afternoon, and so a lot of course it was in the healing process, and it was not as and I found out that the officer on duty that night, when it was finally reported to him what happened, he did take pictures. When I asked to see the pictures in the prison, they would not let me do so. They have identified six people who they say they are investigating for this beating. It was, you can tell that he took a beating, his arm, his left arm especially, because that's what he was using to kind of cover himself when he dropped down into a fetal position when he got the first blow, and he was trying to cover himself with his left arm, and it's black as tar from his shoulder all the way down to his elbow, and then he's got just, you know, cuts, bruises, and everything all over the rest of his body. I got to tell you, just looking at this guy and listening to him, you're saying to yourself, this guy should be home with his kids and his family. There's no way he should be walking around here in an orange jumpsuit with handcuffs. This prison, there are three facilities on the same site, and the medium security, a different, they call it something else, but it's really top security because that's where he is now. He's actually in solitary confinement. He was moved from medium security. But I'm told by others and by a reporter who's done a lot on this, you know Sarah Carter.
Yes.
That the gangs inside the prison almost control at least that medium security facility. They, right after the America's Most Wanted segment was on, in which the whole thing was depicted, and by the way, in a very sympathetic way, it was a good analysis of the whole problem.
I agree.
He was sitting there watching the whole thing with the other inmates, and he saw himself and decided, this could be trouble. He left there, went back to his cubicle where there were two other people housed with him, and they got up and left because they knew something was up. And it was shortly thereafter that he was attacked.
It didn't take long, and I'm still puzzled why he wasn't put into protective custody in the first place. I know Agent Compion, I guess, requested that. Is it true that Ramos did not request it, or was he denied? Do you know?
No, I think it is accurate to say that he asked for medium security, but he was he was told that he was going to be in a facility that would not. Where, in fact, he would not be in that kind of danger.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to get him moved. Bottom line is, I'm trying to get him moved to the minimum security area and a place they call the camp, where there really are not the kind of folks that you. I mean, these are not the violent criminals,
the violent gangbangers, and
that's right.
Unfortunately, it's not profiling, but it's true that. That many of them, and of course, Mr. Ramos himself, being of Latino descent, still putting general population with hardened criminals, knowing that many of them probably were put in jail by Border Patrol.
That's
or other law enforcement, and I just find that just despicable that.
Well, there
this
are
happened.
So many things. There's so many parts of this thing. When you go back to the trial itself and all the things that happened even before the trial, and you find out that, for instance, when Davila is brought back, that's the guy that's the drug runner, that was the guy who was shot in the butt, when he was brought back, he stayed with somebody in the Inspector General's office who took him to the doctor where the bullet fragment, I think there was still a bullet fragment in this guy's buttocks, it was extracted. He kept this guy, went back, and this guy, Davila, stayed at the home of the guy who was part of the Inspector General, he's part of the actual prosecution, stayed in his home, and so did this evidence, the bullet.
Right, the bullet, and of course now we find out, thanks to the intrepid reporter Sarah Carter, that all three agents gave sworn testimony against Ramos and Compion were also given immunity in exchange for their testimony, and Representative Poe out of Texas, said it just like it was. When you give deals to witnesses like immunity, the government usually gets the testimony at once, and they were clearly out after these two great Border Patrol agents, and I've met Mr. Ramos, and I just can't believe that he would ever engage in this. And I talked to him about the cell phone conversation he had, and if you can hang on, we've got another break coming up, and we'll discuss the cell phone conversation with his supervisor that was not allowed in testimony.
Testimony, right.
We're going to take a break here on KKNT 960 AM. We'll be right back after this short break.